Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The following hadith, hadith of Abd Rahman ibn Abi Bakrah, may Allah be pleased with him. And who will read that for us? Yes, akhi, the last one.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Abd Rahman ibn Abu Bakrah reported, my father wrote to me and I wrote for him to Ubaidullah bin Abu Bakrah while he was the judge of Sijistan. Do not judge between two persons when you are angry. For I have heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, none of you should judge between two persons when he is angry.
Now, this hadith was narrated by Abu Bakr al-Thaqafi, may Allah be pleased with him. His son, Abdul Rahman, wrote while being dictated by his father, Abu Bakr, to his brother, who is Abdullah, who was a judge. So, what is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advising his son? He's saying to him, do not judge between two while you are angry. Because the Prophet said, alayhi wasallam, this is not permissible. One should not judge between two while he's angry. Why? Because anger impairs your judgment. And this is a well-known fact. And the easiest thing to do when you are writing an email, for example, if someone, especially at work, when someone writes a remark or says something that is hurtful to you or insultive, you immediately write an email with pounding words, with this and that. And all those who write in management say, save this as a draft and come after an hour or two and read it again. If you like it, send it. What would happen? Most emails you write after 2 hours, you either delete them or edit them in a very drastic fashion because your reaction was impulsive. And likewise, when a man and a wife, for example, argue, divorce me, divorce me, divorce me. And she nags for 6 hours, divorce me. If he says, you're divorced, she starts crying. You don't love me, why did you divorce me? Subhanallah, this is what you were asking for. And that is why man should always take his decision, not in a rush, but he has to be in a suitable position and state of mind to do this. So when a judge is angry, he must not rule. Sometimes two opponents come and they are complaining and one of them says a bad thing about the judge. As he's talking and his opponent is talking and the judge says, listen, wait until he finishes. He said, he's your cousin, you're unfair. Now, immediately the blood boils in the veins of the judge. So, okay, I'll show you. In this case, no. Go and calm down and come back. Because this is halal and haram. You're going to either be fair or unfair. And the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, the judges are three. Two in hell and one in paradise. Not that if we have 900 judges in our city, this means that 600 are in hell and 300 are, no, this is not meant. What is meant that the judges are three types. One who rules justly and he fears Allah, this is in paradise. One who rules unjustly because of being biased or a friend, he's in hell. And one who does not have knowledge yet he insists on ruling. So this one is in hell as well. So it's not percentage-wise or ratio-wise, but it is the classification of the number of judges. So he should not judge while in the states of anger. Likewise, anything that impairs his thinking. So if he's hungry, if the judge is in court and then he feels hunger, he said, stop your case, go and eat. If he's wanting to answer the call of nature, yeah, quickly, come on, what's your case, come on. Yeah, wait, I'm presenting my case, quickly, I have to go. No, in this case, postpone it, go, answer the call of nature, come back. And that is why even in prayer, it is not recommended to pray when you are not in such a good state of mentally capable. The Prophet says, if they put the food in front of you and hungry and the call for prayer is there, finish your food. Do not pray when you are in a need to go and answer the call of nature. Likewise, a judge, when it is too hot, he's sweating, and air conditions are not working, postpone the case. or if it's too cold and there's no heating, postpone and delay the case until you are in the right state of mind. And this hadith is clear on that. Okay, we open the floor for questions. The brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Is there any hadith which says that if a judge or a person who has an incident scenario with him, and if he judges rightly, he gets two reward, and if he judges incorrectly, then he gets one?
This is correct, but this is when the judge is doing his level best. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, when a ruler makes his best on a judgment, if he's correct, he is rewarded twice because he did his best and he was correct. And if he's not right, he's incorrect, he made a guess, he tried his level best in accordance to his knowledge, but he did not obtain the right ruling, Allah will give him one reward. So this is correct hadith.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum.
If a judge is being pressurized by the politicians of a country to give wrong justice.
Well, this is not a justification, because if a judge is forced by the rulers, the king, the president, the politicians, to give a verdict that is not in accordance to what Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with, he is among the two judges in fire. He either gives the correct verdict or resigns. There is no other way around. But to say, well, Allah, what can I do? In this case, you're not a judge. You are a secretary of that politician or that ruler. You only do what he orders you to do, and this is not right.
What is required to be a scholar, and can every scholar issue a fatwa? And what is the ruling of taking a fatwa blindly?
Now, each question requires a dedicated lecture. How can a person become a scholar? There isn't any injection or amino acids or a protein that makes you grow muscles and you're a scholar. It needs a lot of dedication, acquiring knowledge, reading, attending classes with scholars to learn from them. And it's a gift from Allah. You can have someone who memorizes 5,000 hadiths with sanad, yet he doesn't know how to perform wudu. He's a good book, he's a good volume, he's a good recorder, but he's not a person of understanding and intellect. So that is why the Prophet said, alayhi salam, balligh anni walaw aya, that relay on my behalf even one verse. And he said that may Allah make the face of someone who narrates a hadith nice and beautiful, because sometimes you narrate a hadith and relate to someone who understands it better than you. So it's a combination of things. And not every scholar is entitled to give a fatwa, in the sense that you can be a scholar in hadith, you can be a scholar in fiqh, you can be a scholar in usul, you can be a scholar in Arabic, you can be a scholar in tafsir. So in your jurisdiction, in your field, yes, you can give fatwa. So if the scholar, so-called scholar, has knowledge, he can give fatwa. So if someone comes to a scholar and says, what's the ruling on music? The music is haram. How dare you give fatwa? Excuse me, what have I done? The ruling on music is haram because these are the verses of the Quran, these are the hadith of the Prophet, these are the opinion of scholars. What do you want more? So no, you have to be stamped of approval by so-and-so committee to give fatwa. This is not correct. And are we obliged to follow a fatwa blindly? The answer is definitely not. You have to look into the Quran and to the Sunnah and see if it's based on the Quran and Sunnah or not. But this is not applicable for everyone. And even those who are so-called students of knowledge, they consider themselves to be students of knowledge, if you talk to them, they say, we do not follow fatwas blindly. Good. We do not follow madhabs blindly. Very good. What do you do? See, we follow the sahih, evidence from the hadith. Follow Quran and the authentic sunnah. Inshallah, that's excellent. That's very good news. But are they doing this? No, they're not doing this. Why? Because they're following another contemporary alim or scholar, imam, in authenticating hadiths. So they are blindly following him in his authentication. They don't have the means to say, yeah, but he did this and that for the hadith. You don't have knowledge in hadith. You have never read a book on al-jarh wa-ta'deel or mustalah al-hadith. So you're blindly following your sheikh. Therefore, it's a very delicate situation. We don't tell people to follow blindly, but at the same time, we don't give them to the man, the janitor, and to the bus driver who doesn't know how to read the Quran and say, yes, follow the authentic hadith. Yeah, he doesn't know what's authentic hadith you're talking about. He said, it's hadith in Bukhari. Even if it's in Bukhari, does he know what it means? The fiqh of the hadith? So don't. And this is a very big problem. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.